New Testament reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. It is on page 884 of your pew Bibles. So when they had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This is Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven. He will come the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they'd entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm excited to be preaching, sharing a few words with you all today. For almost a year, our family has lived here, and we've listened to Pastor Jonathan give wonderful sermons, and I'm glad that he decided to share the pulpit with me today. Thank you. And while I don't want to steal Jonathan's thunder, he did ask me to talk, so I get to say whatever I want, right? So next week is Pentecost, and we're going to hear a lot about that, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about it ahead of time. So Pentecost is really a pretty important Sunday in the church. It's kind of a big church holiday. When we think of church holidays, we think of Easter and Christmas. Those are the big ones. But I would say maybe number three is probably Pentecost. It's the church's birthday, the day that the church became a church. Jonathan's going to tell you all about how the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples like tongues of flame above their heads, and how they spoke languages that they didn't even know. Is that the part where I stole his thunder? But this story is really important because even though Pentecost is a minor church holiday, it gets followed up by today. It follows up today, which is a really obscure church holiday, one we don't really talk about. So this Sunday, 6 weeks after Easter, is a little church holiday we call Ascension of the Lord. And this is a day when we remember this part of Jesus' story that we don't really talk about all that often. We know that Jesus died and he rose again, and Easter kind of feels like the end of the story, doesn't it? It's the end of most of the Gospels where just that's it. That's the good news, and they lived happily ever after. But after Jesus reappeared to the disciples, he stayed with them for these weeks between Easter and now, between his ascension, which is what we're celebrating today. So they went up to the Mount of Olivet, and Jesus and his disciples were standing there. And Jesus went up to heaven in a pillar of cloud. Can you imagine what that must have looked like? The disciples were just standing there, staring at the sky. What just happened to Jesus? He went up in this pillar of cloud, and the angels come and tell them, "Don't worry, God does things in his own time." Well, we remember this event every week, whether you think about it or not, when we say the Apostles' Creed. We say the third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, that's this day, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. So even though this isn't a holiday that we spend a lot of time talking about, we do remember it, whether we think about it or not. So happy Ascension, everybody. Big day. But here's how all of this fits into the bigger story. At the Last Supper, the part that Stephen read us today, John's Gospel tells us that Jesus prayed for his disciples. He knew what was coming, what was going to happen when he left. And he prays that after he's gone, that God will protect and guide the disciples and the people who followed him. After Easter, Jesus tells the disciples that the Holy Spirit will be with them after he leaves. Today, on Ascension Day, he goes up into the sky, and then the disciples are left waiting again, kind of like they did after Jesus died. He said there was going to be the Holy Spirit, but where is it? They had to wait until the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Because Jesus was their teacher and their leader and their friend, the disciples had each other, but they felt like they needed something more, that contact with God that they'd had through Jesus for the last 3 years. They needed God to keep them on the right path, to guide them and protect them. And that's what the Holy Spirit did for them and does for us. So this moment where the disciples are standing on Mount Olivet, watching their teacher leave, kind of staring at the sky, wondering what's going to happen next, this moment is kind of like the disciples' graduation day. Apostles, here's your diploma. Good luck in the real world. So I've graduated 3 times in my life, from high school, from college, and from seminary. And I remember some things about those graduation ceremonies fondly. When I graduated from high school, a teacher sat at the end of each row of students, and I got to sit at the end of the row next to my dad, who was my math teacher. When I graduated from the University of Arizona in Tucson, they have this tradition of throwing tortillas in the air at the end of the service. So this isn't really encouraged by the faculty, but it turns out it's really easy to hide a package of tortillas under your robe. So that's what we did. My graduating class had around 5,000 students in it, and for a while I couldn't find anybody I knew. There was no assigned seating. And finally I spotted a girl I'd gone all the way through school with since preschool. And we got to sit together, and what a special ending to that journey that was for us. When I graduated from seminary, I got to sit next to Jonathan, my new husband of a few months, and I suddenly found myself at the very end of the line with this new Warren last name. Felt a little bit like a demotion. So all of these graduation ceremonies had speakers, maybe some locally famous people, I don't remember. And there were baccalaureate services, and I don't really remember those either. The only thing I really remember from all of those speeches at all of those graduations, the past president of the seminary got up and said, "Nobody remembers any of the things from these speeches, so I'm going to talk about what I want to. I'm going to tell you about people that influenced my life." And he was right. I don't remember anything else that he said. So I would imagine that most of us are not alone in this, not remembering the things we heard at all these speeches. Except for Stephen's speech on Friday, we remember every word you said. They were excellent. But I do remember who I sat next to at all of those graduations. Someone who'd been with me through all of those journeys, all of those long nights studying. Someone who'd supported me and read with me. Someone who was still going to walk beside me after the ceremony was over, and when the daily life of going to school was past. So today, we're recognizing our graduates. We have 4 outstanding young people sitting here with us who are leaving Jacksonville High School and going on to the next journey of your lives, the next part of your journey. So I don't expect you to remember much of what I say today, except I want you to remember this one thing. Look at who you're sitting next to in the pew. Your families are sitting beside you. They've cared for you and prayed for you and loved you through all kinds of ups and downs, through all kinds of things that you've gone through. And they'll continue to care for you and love for you and pray for you through whatever comes next in your lives. But I want you to look around some more. Turn, look this way or look behind you. There's a lot of other people in this room too, beyond your families. And they love you and pray for you too. And they will continue to do so as you go on to the next part of your journey. Everyone here in this church, many of them saw when you were baptized. They promised to teach you about God, and they have. They watched you sing in the Christmas pageant, and they listened to you. They were here when you were confirmed and welcomed you as members of this church. They were here when you got your driver's licenses, and they prayed for you and for everyone else on the road. And even though you won't be living in Jacksonville anymore, this is still your church family. All the time, it will be your church family. And I hope you find another church in your new town where you move next, because those people are going to pray for you and love you too. And they'll probably feed you, because, is this right, guys? There's always somebody willing to adopt college students. So find yourself a college mom who's a good cook. But in fact, it's not just these graduates who should be looking around at other people in this room and seeing a family sitting around them. All of us can look to the people next to us, behind us, around us, and we can see that we have a family here at this church. Some of you have been coming to this church for your entire lives. Some of you have been coming here a lot longer than I've been on this earth. And some of us have only been here for a short time. But we're still part of this family, of this body of Christ. Well, let's think about those disciples again for a minute. When the first Christians started meeting together, when they went to that upstairs room, there were no 100-year-old buildings. There were no people who'd been going to church there for 50 years. There were 11 disciples who we know by name, and a handful of women whose names aren't even told. And they just watched their savior, their teacher, their master, go up into the sky in this pillar of cloud, and leave them there. Jesus, who had traveled around and healed the sick, he'd said all of these amazing things. Jesus was killed and then impossibly rose again from the dead. He was the center of their community. And right before he went up to heaven, he said, "Take everything that I've taught you and spread it to the ends of the earth." This little group of people who saw all of those things, they were the church. Their teacher had given them as much information as they could cram in, and he told them to go on to the next part of their journey. The disciples had, in a sense, graduated. Their final exams were over, and now it was time to take what they had learned, and the students became the teachers. After Jesus left and they were all together in this room, I imagine they looked around at their little group of people and they saw who they were praying with. They were no longer a fisherman and a tax collector and a zealot and strangers anymore. They'd spent the last 3 years learning and working and walking all over the country together. Now they were a family. This was their church family. And when they left Jerusalem, they went far and wide, literally to the ends of the known world, and to teach everybody what they had learned from Jesus, that God is love, that we should love one another as God loves us, that we should love our neighbors as ourselves, and that we are all part of one body, this body of Christ. In fact, part of our church's mission statement says, we are more than a body, we are a family of caring, concerned people growing together in the love and service of Christ. Still to this day, we follow those words and that model of those disciples. So no matter where they went, these 11 people, they knew that there was a family, a home, a church praying for them back in Jerusalem. They talked about the church in Jerusalem in their letters that they wrote that make up our New Testament. It mattered to the disciples a great deal that there was this church, this family back home who cared for them. When things seemed hard, when life seemed impossible, when they faced persecution and unimaginable hardship, they knew that they had that church back home who cared for them. So Ben and Stephen and Brandon and Beatrice, as you prepare to leave this place, set out on the next steps of your journey. Know that we are all here, your family, praying for you and caring for you. And for everyone here in this room, no matter where we go, no matter where life takes us, we know that the church is there to love us too. It might not be this church in Jacksonville, Illinois, might be some other church in some other town, but we are all part of this one church of Jesus Christ, and we're all part of this family. Let us pray again. Gracious God, we thank you for this family you've given us in this church. We thank you for our brothers and sisters that we sit among. We thank you for our graduates who we are about to send out into the world, and pray that they remember that we are here caring for them and loving for them, just as we love all who are part of our church family. Amen.